Good afternoon, 4:30 and 65 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Sean Delaney.
Last year, I was proud to be able to secure an extension of these benefits past their year-end expiration date, while I advocated for a longer-term solution.
And Senator Mitch McConnell says he now has that solution to protect the pensions and health care benefits of retired coal miners.
A Floyd County man is killed when his tractor overturns.
And Governor Bevin's new plan for governance at the University of Louisville looks a lot like the old one.
In sports, the Kentucky Wildcats are on the road for SEC action at Mississippi State tonight.
But Luke has the stocks.
Cloudy with a chance of rain this evening, lows in the lower 40s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
Authorities in Floyd County are investigating the death of a 69-year-old man who was pinned beneath his tractor. The victim was identified as David Hamilton. Police say it appears as if Hamilton was spreading gravel on a steep bank when the tractor overturned on top of him. They say the accident happened on Rice Branch of Prater Creek about 6 o'clock Monday night.
Republican Governor Matt Bevin has appointed a new board of trustees for the University of Louisville that is nearly identical to the one that he created last year that led to the school being placed on probation. Bevin made the appointments Friday via an executive order. The order was filed with the Secretary of State's office today.
The people that you're going to see that are on this new board are men and women who bring a wide, diverse array of experience to the equation. They're competent. They're qualified in every respect. They're Republicans, they're Democrats, they're black, they're white, they're folks who bring their life experience in a way that our university needs at this time.
8 of the 10 board members are the same ones Bevin appointed last summer that were later blocked by a judge's order. They include Papa John CEO John H. Schneider and former U of L basketball standout Ulysses Jr. Brickman. U of L's accrediting body placed the school on probation, citing concerns of undue political influence. But the state's legislature passed a law earlier this month directing Bevin to appoint a new board subject to confirmation of the state Senate.
State Representative Rocky Adkins says the controversy over the University of Louisville's governing body has statewide implications. The Moorhead Democrat says it's important that the school's accreditation from the Southern Association of State Colleges and Universities not be further jeopardized. Atkins spoke with KET.
Why am I so concerned about the University of Louisville? Number one, it used to be just a metropolitan university. You know what? We got more kids from Eastern Kentucky going to the University of Louisville right now than ever in the history of the University of Louisville. It's a statewide university.
Atkins says the accreditation of all Kentucky's universities needs to be protected.
At its regularly scheduled meeting today, the Rowan County Fiscal Court followed the lead of the Moorhead City Council and passed on first reading a tax increment financing proposal. Council approved the measure last week. The county and city want to set up a so-called TIF district in Moorhead's downtown. If fully approved, both municipal governments would offer tax breaks to developers if they agree to build inside the city's central business district. Walter Blevins is Rowan's judge executive.
All the information we've been given, we're not going to be looked at very well unless we have some kind of tools to attract people to come to our community. And this is one of those tools we can put in our toolbox and hopefully attract some downtown development.
City and county officials believe passage of the TIF proposal is crucial to their hopes of attracting a developer that would build a hotel in downtown Moorhead.
Credit rating agency Standard & Poor's has downgraded its outlook for Kentucky, signaling another possible drop in the state's credit rating. Josh James has details.
S&P's global ratings revised the Commonwealth's outlook from stable to negative this week, echoing a similar move in 2015 before the agency lowered Kentucky's rating from AA- to A+. And S&P is citing familiar concerns, namely worries that weighty pension obligations could hobble the state's budgetary performance and flexibility. While Kentucky's public pension debt is estimated at $32.6 billion, Governor Matt Bevin told a Chamber of Commerce event in Lexington this month that that figure assumes unrealistic rates of return on investment. When pegged to 30-year treasuries, the number swells to $82 billion, he said.
That is 8 times what our annual gross intake is at this time. 8 times, if we spent every single cent this state takes in for the next 8 years, and assuming it doesn't grow in terms of obligation and interest, et cetera, we would only just begin to get back to the top of the hole that we have dug for ourselves.
The Lexington Herald Leader reports the odds of another ratings downgrade are now at least 1 in 3. If S&P hands Kentucky another cut, it would make borrowing more costly for the state. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
There's a new fixed-base operator at the Clyde Thomas Rowan County Regional Airport. He's Perry Sloan, a pilot and airport mechanic. The Bath County resident says one of his immediate priorities is community outreach.
The community needs to know that we're here, because it is their tax dollars paying for a lot of the services that we have here. I would like for everyone to come out and say hi and see what we're offering, see if we can be of service to them. A lot of people really don't realize where we can take you at this airport. We're 5,500 feet long. Light jets, medium jets can land here if you need to go somewhere. What a great place to start from.
Sloan is now in charge of day-to-day management of the airport along Rodney Hitch Boulevard. He replaces Mike and Tracy Potter, who had operated the facility as Midwest Aircraft Services.
A project by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, which begins tomorrow, will impact traffic on the Jesse Stewart Memorial Bridge in Greenup County. The Corps will be working on the Greenup Locks and Dam. That's according to Alan Blair. He is the spokesman for the Kentucky Department of Highways District 9 office in Flemingsburg. Blair says the work will restrict traffic to one lane on the bridge for the next couple of weeks during daylight hours.
People should watch for message boards to see if, you know, the exact specifics of that. But with the high traffic across that bridge linking Kentucky to Ohio, people should be aware that there could be some delays. They can also reroute across the Russell or Ashland bridges to avoid that wait.
Blair says, depending on the weather, the project on the Greenup Locks and Dam could run into early February.
It will likely be mid-February before the new lighting system on Maysville-Simon Kenton Bridge is ready to go. The Kentucky Transportation Cabinet had initially hoped to complete the $400,000 project before Christmas, but officials say it's taken longer than expected. Maysville City Manager Matt Wallingford believes the bridge's new LED lights will be worth the added wait, since they should last for many years to come.
Yeah, and that's what I'm hoping, is that, you know, typically when you talk to a lighting company or an energy service company, you know, these LEDs can go 15 to 25 years without having to be replaced.
Wallingford says before the city can hold a relighting ceremony for the bridge, its new LED lights will have to go through a 2-week burn-in process to prepare them for everyday use. Simon Kenton's old lights were turned off in 2014 after inspectors found such things as frayed wires and junction boxes without lids.
The director of the Community Assistance and Referral Service for Boyd County says there are significant social service needs in the Ashland area, and this is the time of year when they are most apparent. Lynn Childers says one problem seems to rise above the others.
There's just not adequate, affordable, safe housing here in Ashland, Boyd County area to meet the needs of the people that are here. And I say affordable, meaning a lot of times it's either cheap and not safe, or it's expensive and safe. You know, there's not enough income-based housing to take care of the need here in the area.
In addition to housing, Childers says food and utility assistance are the other services most in demand. She says counselors at the CARES office on Carter Avenue will do everything they can to put people in contact with the support they need. The official homeless tally for Boyd County and Kentucky takes place next week. 145 people were counted as homeless in the greater Ashland area last January.
The Coalition for the Homeless says it needs volunteers to conduct its annual count in Louisville this month. A statement from the organization says it relies heavily on volunteers to help count the number of people sleeping outdoors in Metro Louisville. This year's homeless street count is planned for January 26th. Officials say the goal is to verify the number of homeless people in the city and help guide how resources are allocated to them. Those interested in volunteering can sign up at www.louhomeless.org. A mandatory training session will be held on January 25th.
West Virginia has received $285,000 in funding for a federal program aimed at helping low-income elderly people. U.S. Senator Joe Manchin says the money for the Commodity Supplemental Food Program will help distribute food to people in need. Along with the funding, he says West Virginia has received 5,000 caseload slots for the program. Manchin says the allocation will help the Mountaineer Food Bank and the Facing Hunger Food Bank provide services to West Virginians struggling to keep food on the table for themselves and their families. The program is administered by the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Senator Mitch McConnell says he introduced legislation today to provide a permanent fix for health care benefits and pensions for retired miners that were threatened by widespread layoffs in the coal industry. The Kentucky Republican says he supported an earlier bill to extend retiree benefits by 4 months, but the new plan goes further.
To protect and permanently extend those benefits for thousands of coal miner retirees and their dependents. Recognizing the damage that has been done over the past 8 years, my legislation also calls on Congress to work with the incoming Trump administration to repeal regulations that are harming the coal industry and to support economic development efforts in coal country.
McConnell spoke on the Senate floor this morning.
The only Democrat in Kentucky's congressional delegation will not attend Friday's inauguration of Republican Donald Trump as the nation's next president. John Yarmuth of Jefferson County says he has received many calls urging him to boycott the event.
We got several hundred calls in our office this weekend, and virtually every one of them was asking me not to go. Donald Trump has consistently behaved in a way that has helped destroy a lot of the dignity of the presidency. He's embarrassed the office.
Yarmuth says he disagrees with comments by Georgia Congressman John Lewis that Trump's presidency is illegitimate. However, the Democrat says he's staying away from the inauguration because Trump called the civil rights icon all talk in responding to Lewis's remarks.
Somerset Congressman Hal Rogers has attended every presidential inaugural since 1981, and he'll be in Washington again this Friday when Donald Trump becomes the nation's 45th president. Rogers discussed those events with C-SPAN as part of the network's American History series. The Republican lawmaker says President Reagan's inaugural was particularly memorable for him because both men were elected in November of 1980. However, Rogers says they're all important because they celebrate democracy.
Celebrate the peaceable transfer of power from one president to another, to one administration to another, to really a whole change of government, if you will. Reagan was a transformational president, and that made his election and swearing-in more meaningful, I think, than some of the others.
Rogers says the best inaugural speeches are positive and optimistic, and President Reagan and Clinton both gave great ones.
Kentucky's Attorney General doesn't believe most Democrats would shy away from running for governor in 2019, even if Republicans continue to hold supermajorities in the House and Senate. Andy Beshear is a Democrat and the son of former Governor Steve Beshear. He's often mentioned as a possible gubernatorial candidate 2 years from now. Beshear says the only reason people should run for office is because they're passionate about something and want to make a difference.
For me, it's that four-part mission of preventing and prosecuting child abuse, better protecting our seniors against scams and abuse, seeking justice for victims of rape and sexual assault, and finding workable solutions to our drug epidemic. And I'd like to see in every future election that we stop this kind of back and forth, Democrat, Republican, conservative, liberal, and talking about national issues and focus on people's families.
And Beshear says those are the things that really matter in the lives of Kentuckians.
A Lexington clinic that was among two facilities that performed abortions in Kentucky has announced it will close. The Kentucky chapter of the National Organization for Women announced on its Facebook page that the EMW Women's Clinic in Lexington will close effective of January 27th. The organization said the clinic was a permanent casualty of Republican Governor Matt Bevin, an abortion rights proponent. The clinic's closure leaves one abortion provider left in Kentucky, EMW Women's Surgical Center in Louisville. The Louisville facilities director, Ann Aloha, said Monday she hopes the clinic continues to serve patients without any complications. Taking a look at the weather in the MSPR listening area, including the counties of Rowan, Bath, and Carter, tonight we should have mostly cloudy skies with a 20% chance of showers, lows in the mid-40s. Later on tomorrow, you can expect mostly cloudy skies, much cooler with highs in the upper 40s. On Wednesday night, we should have mostly cloudy skies, lows in the mid-30s. Later on Thursday, we should have partly sunny skies in the morning, then mostly cloudy with a slight chance of rain showers in the afternoon, highs in the lower 50s, a chance of rain at 20%. Right now in Ashland, it's 67 degrees. In Flemingsburg, it's 62 degrees. In Inez, it's 63 degrees. In Lexington, it's 62 degrees. In Winchester, 63 degrees. And in Moorhead, it is 65 degrees.
4:46, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. It is wonderful to have your company on this Tuesday afternoon. On our feature segment, a member of Moorhead State University's Kentucky Center for Traditional Music is being honored. MSPR's Victoria Egee has more.
Musician and instructor Jesse Wells is the Kentucky Arts Council's featured artist for this month and next. Wells says he was born into music. His father was a fiddler, and both of his uncles were semi-professional bluegrass musicians. When he was 5 years old, Wells' father handed him a mandolin, which he quickly became proficient at playing. He also began to pursue music other ways.
Dad put the mandolin in my hands, and so I started there. Then in high school, I got interested in playing guitar. I played in the jazz band in high school and got involved in the Governor's School for the Arts my junior year of high school. And I was lucky enough to do that summer program, and that really helped me focus on pursuing music in college, and then eventually as my career choice.
Wells says that what attracts him to folk and bluegrass music is the culture behind it. One thing he is especially passionate about is sharing Kentucky fiddle and banjo tunes along with some of the other traditions of Eastern Kentucky.
My mom's a painter, so I've been lucky to be around her and her friends who do visual art, but my dad was an English teacher in Johnson County, so he was always really making literature a part of our life, being around people like Gurney Norman and Jane Steele when I was a little kid.
Being surrounded by musicians his entire life shaped how Wells views folk and bluegrass music. Because of his family's investment in it, he had several people that he considers to be his mentors.
People like Paul David Smith and Art Stamper were kind of some of the older generation musicians that I learned a lot about music from, and people like John Herod, who are active collectors today and who for many decades dedicated their life to preserving Kentucky traditional music.
Wells teaches music at the Center for Traditional Music and has professionally played and toured with several groups, most notably the bluegrass band Kentucky Wild Horse. He says he is very fortunate to have been able to pursue music as a career.
I'm pretty much happy doing what I do right now. Just being able to perform regularly and share music and share the stories of Kentucky and the music that I've been around and some of the mentors that I've been lucky to be around. And I hope to just continue doing that and being able to teach, being able to share that with younger generations as well.
Wells is a member of the Art Council's Performing Artists Directory and a recipient of a Kentucky Arts Council Folk and Traditional Apprenticeship Grant. Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio, I'm Victoria Agee.
You're in tune with Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. National and international news is coming your way on All Things Considered at 5 o'clock this afternoon right here on MSPR. And we'll check sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from The Bakery on Main next to Pasquale's on East Main Street in Moorhead. The Bakery on Main prepares made-from-scratch breads, cakes, pies, tarts, and cookies. Glazed, cream and fruit-filled donuts made fresh Monday, Friday, and Saturday, catering for weddings, birthdays, bridal, and baby showers. Open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Orders by phone at 606-783-0101 and online at thebakeryonmain.com.
Good afternoon with Moorhead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Kentucky basketball team will be out to extend its 5-game winning streak tonight at 7 o'clock when the 5th-ranked Wildcats visit Mississippi State. Assistant coach Joe Justice says another game away from Rupp Arena offers the young Cats another chance to continue their growth.
We have had now, you know, opportunities to be on the road and test our youth. And I think for us, you know, every time that you step out, you want to see where you are. And we'll see where we are on, you know, January 17th. And we hope that we're in a better place than we were a week ago when we were on the road.
Also a young team, Mississippi State starts 3 freshmen and 2 sophomores. The Bulldogs have posted a 12-5 record so far, including a 3-1 mark in the SEC. Louisville's 12th-ranked Cardinals are losing a key player. Guard Quentin Snyder will miss the next 2 to 3 weeks of play because of an injured hip. Snyder is averaging 12 points and 4 assists per game for the Cardinals. They host Clemson on Thursday. Also, number 7 Creighton has lost starting point guard Mo Watson for the year. Watson tore his ACL in Monday's game against Xavier. He was averaging 14 points and a nation-best 9 assists per game. Saturday's 2-point win over Tennessee State has the Morehead State men's basketball team full of confidence. With Eagles now at 3-2 in the OVC, senior forward Juwan Marrero says he and his teammates believe they have a real shot at contending for a conference title.
Anything can happen in conference play. So we showed that, you know, we're still one of the top teams in this conference that you need to beat in order for you to succeed. So we're coming with that momentum that, you know, we're going to try to run the table.
That effort will continue on Thursday when the Eagles visit Austin Peay. Without a game until Saturday's home contest against Eastern Kentucky, Coach Greg Todd hopes to spend practice time this week getting his Morehead State women's basketball team back on track. The Eagles will go into that contest at 14-5 overall and 4-2 in the OVC, despite losing its last 2 games.
We've had a great run, great start, but it gets tougher as you get into the OVC. There's not going to be any easy games in our division. We still have Murray and SEMO to play out of the West as well.
The MSU women will be facing an Eastern Kentucky team that is 7-11 overall, but has won 4 of its 5 OVC games. Following a 20-point win at home over Fleming County last night, the Round County boys basketball team hits the road this evening for a game at Russell. The contest will give Coach Sean Thacker's 12-5 Vikings another opportunity to measure themselves against an opponent from the 16th region.
Definitely settling into the M region part of our schedule and a big important part of our schedule here to see where we are and where we stack up with everybody as we go through this regional schedule.
Russell is 9-11 this season and will be out to end a 2-game losing streak. Pittsburgh Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin says star wide receiver Antonio Brown will be punished for streaming video of the team's locker room on Facebook Live following the Steelers' 18-16 playoff win over Kansas City on Sunday. Tomlin was heard on the video strongly criticizing the New England Patriots organization, which Pittsburgh plays Sunday in the AFC title game. Tomlin called Brown's decision a mistake.
It was foolish of him to do that. It was selfish for him to do that. And it was inconsiderate for him to do that. Not only is it a violation of our policy, it is a violation of league policy, both of which he knows. So there are consequences to be dealt with from his perspective. We will punish him. We won't punish us. And we'll do so swiftly. But larger than that, he's got to grow from this.
Sunday's AFC Championship game kicks off at 6:40. Green Bay and Atlanta will battle for the NFC title at 3:05 on Sunday. The Chicago Cubs capped off the celebration of their first World Series in 116 years yesterday with a visit to the White House. Manager Joe Maddon says it was special for both him and his players to spend some time with President Obama.
To stand behind President Obama like that on that stage, it's a powerful moment. It really is. It's a very humbling moment to be part of this segment of Cubs history, to be here for my second year as the manager of the team.
A noted supporter of Chicago's other major league club, Obama told reporters that of all White Sox fans, he is the biggest Cubs fan. And finally, in sports, a couple of big names in men's tennis have won their opening matches at the Australian Open. AP correspondent Graham Agars reports.
Former world number one Novak Djokovic sent a message that his 6-month form slump is over. That as he charged into the second round of the Australian Open. A rejuvenated Djokovic straight-setted former world top tenner Fernando Verdasco and set himself for a run at an unprecedented 7th men's title in Melbourne. Rafael Nadal made a spirited return from his recent injury layoff, that with a straight sets win of his own. Serena Williams reached the women's second round with a hard-fought 6-4, 6-3 win over Belinda Bencic. Graham Agars, Melbourne.
That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle basketball will host a doubleheader with Eastern Kentucky University on Saturday. The women's game begins at 5:30 and the men's tip off at 7:45. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle ticket office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. Stocks closed lower, with financials lagging as uncertainty around President-elect Donald Trump's policies grew, and the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 58.96 at 19,826.77. The S&P 500 was down 6.75 at 2267.89, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 35.39 at 5538.73. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 16 to 13 in favor of losing stocks over winners. Trump criticized a proposed corporate tax plan from the House of Representatives, labeling the plan as too complicated in an interview with the Wall Street Journal. And, of course, the stock market has soared since the election, partially on hopes of corporate tax reform, deregulation of certain sectors, and more government spending. Trump's remarks also took a bite out of the dollar, which fell almost 1% against a basket of currencies. In turn, the euro rose about 0.7% against the dollar to finish at just over $1.07, and the yen gained 1.1% to finish at 112.67. Overseas, the Pan-European Stock 600 Index fell about 0.15%, and this did pair earlier losses. In Asia, the Nikkei was down 1.5%, and the Hang Seng finished up about 0.5%. There is no major U.S. economic data due today, but a slew of firms reported quarterly results, including Morgan Stanley, which beat analysts' expectations on both the top and bottom lines. Morgan Stanley shares fell 2.5%, however. Among Dow Industrial stocks, your best performers were Walmart and Procter & Gamble. Your worst performers were J.P. Morgan and Goldman Sachs. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Noble Energy and PVH, and the worst performers were Comerica and Navient. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated down 33 cents at 110.95, CSX down 71 cents at 38.09, AEP up 59 cents at 63.82, AK Steel down 26 cents at 9.45, Marathon Petroleum up 34 cents at 48.72, and Community Trust Bank was down 50 cents to finish at 48.85. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University, providing classes for high-ability students, their parents, and their educators for more than 30 years. The Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University is now accepting applications for middle and high school summer camps, including the 34th Annual Advanced Placement Summer Institute, June 26 through the 30th. More information at 270-745-6323 or online at wku.edu/gifted.
Taking one last look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area. Tonight we should have mostly cloudy skies with a 20% chance of showers. Lows should be in the mid-40s. Later on tomorrow you can expect mostly cloudy skies, much cooler temperatures with highs in the upper 40s. Later on Wednesday night we should have mostly cloudy skies, lows in the mid-30s. Later on Thursday we should have partly sunny skies in the morning, then mostly cloudy later on with a slight chance of rain showers in the afternoon. Highs in the lower 50s, chance of rain at 20%. On Thursday night, we should have cloudy skies, a chance of showers in the evening, then rain after midnight, lows in the mid-40s, chance of rain at 90%. And on Friday, we should have mostly cloudy skies, rain in the morning, then a chance of showers in the afternoon, highs in the lower 60s, chance of rain will be at 80%. In Ashland, it's 67 degrees, Flemingsburg is 62 degrees, Inez is 63 degrees, Lexington is 62 degrees, Winchester is 63 degrees, and on the campus of Morehead State University, it's 65 degrees.
And that'll do it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had assistance from Chuck Mraz, Ellen Barnett, Nathan Gutierrez, Braxton Howard, Courtney Howell, Jacob Lindberg, Xavier Adkins, Tilden Johnson, and Victoria Agee. From WUKY, Josh James. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, Dan Translator, W202 BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at wmky.org. For Sean Delaney and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.